Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 100, all stanzas, forever trusting in the Lord. Take heed to do his will, so shalt thou dwell within the land. So shalt thou dwell within the land, and he thy needs shall fill. 1-4 of Psalter 100. Scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, in the third chapter, in the first 18 verses, Luke 3, verses 1 through 18. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonitis and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." And then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, 'We have Abraham to our fathers.' For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire." And the people asked him, saying, "What shall we do then?" He answereth and saith unto them, "He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise." Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, "Master, what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Exact no more than that which is appointed you." And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, "And what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." And as the people were in expectation, all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not. John answered, saying unto them all, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable." And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, Thou who art from everlasting to everlasting, And we are the finite creatures of this world. And with us, all things have a beginning, and they also have an ending. But with thee, thou sayest that one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is as one day. Then there is with thee no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Lord, for us this evening marks an end, the end of this period of time, the end of this year. Lord, we also will come to our end, the end of our life, the end of this world. They are matters that we by nature put so far away from us that we will not give to them serious consideration. But in this evening, then, we are reminded, this evening we are exhorted, that we shall one day also come to our end. And Lord, we know from thy word that we must then stand before thee. But we do not know it in our hearts, because our hearts, they are so filled with all that is here below, that we will not consider that we are like the beasts that perish. Lord, we can only ask of thee that thou in this evening may give us new hearts, that thou may give us understanding hearts, that thou may give us hearts that see and that feel, that are filled with an impression of that which shall be one day reality, that we may not be surprised when that day cometh upon us unawares. For thou givest unto us time. It is a time of preparation, a time that by nature we whittle away with all the things that are of time and sense. Lord, we need to be given that grace from thee. We need to be stopped by thee. Lord, remember us then in this evening. Oh, it is the last hours, but in the last hours thou didst also grant true conversion unto that thief that was upon the cross. Lord, may thou also work that same grace in us and in our children in these last hours of this night and of this year, when all things do come to a close, that we may be given a holy desire to seek the God of our creation, that he may be also the God of our redemption, that he may be our God, and that we may be his children, that we may be prepared to stand before thee not only, but that we may be received of thee, that we may dwell with thee, not alone here below, but for a never-ending eternity. Oh, do instruct us, Lord, and let not this important and serious hour pass by us once again without fruit in our life. But wilt thou remember us according to thy mercy? Remember thy children. Instruct them also in thy ways. O lead them to draw nigh to thee. Then that hour that they shall pass out of this world shall be a blessed hour. O when there are many fears in their hearts, O thou art able to take them all away. May thou be pleased To show to them once again upon what foundation they must be grounded, that they may seek to make their calling and election sure, that they may receive that blessed comfort in life and in death, that they might know that they are not their own, but that they belong unto their faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, give a hungering and a thirsting, a longing after that knowledge of that adoption of children, that they may not rest satisfied in all that they may have received as gifts from Thee, but that they could not do without the Giver Himself, that He may be revealed not only, but that He may be applied, and that the people may be given to embrace Him by a true saving faith. Lord, do instruct each and every one of us, then may it be yet also in this evening hour. Do remember all our children and all our loved ones. O, wilt Thou also impress upon their young hearts the seriousness of their life, and that they might learn to remember their Creator in the days of their youth. Wilt Thou remember this great nation in which we dwell when we come to the end of this year? Lord, may Thou give a repentance, may Thou give a sorrow over all our iniquities, in which we also in an outward way do break forth from day to day with increasing sin against Thee. Lord, wilt Thou stop us, or have dealings with us as a nation, and turn Thou us again as Thou alone art able? Wilt Thou look upon all those that are called to bring Thy word? Lord, that was so of Thy servant of whom we read together in this evening already. Thou didst give unto him a message. Oh, may Thou also give it unto Thy servants over the length and the breadth of this whole world. Because when they may speak what Thou wilt give, then there shall also be fruit upon that labor. Lord, wilt Thou also forgive all of our many sins in a personal way, each one of us, but also as office bearers within Thy church in that year that is gone by, for Thou art the witness thereof. Oh, do wash and cleanse us, and may Thou bless all that has been brought in the midst of this flock, to the welfare of our poor souls. Lord, wilt Thou go with all the widows and the widowers and the orphans and those that are separated from husbands or wives, those that live this life alone, especially in the days in which we are, when the wounds, they are felt. Lord, may Thou remember each and every one of them in their loneliness, and wilt Thou be near to them in mercy, and be with the afflicted and the sick ones. We remember and bring before Thee especially that young child that is still in the hospital far away. Lord, Thou hast given a little increase in his strength. Oh, may Thou continue to bless the labors and all that is used for his recovery. Bring him safely home in this week, and wilt Thou supply for his weak and mortal body, and wilt Thou bless for body and for soul. Lord, go before us in this evening. Oh, take Thou away all that can hinder in speaking and in listening. Do give to us the unction of Thy Holy Spirit, on which we are so dependent,
And give that in a clear way we may be enabled to bring this little portion of thy holy word, that it may bear fruit also in the midst of us. Oh, do glorify thy holy and thy worthy name, and remember us yet in this night. One more time we ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful within and without, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 305, stanzas 1 through 6. How blessed the man who fears the Lord and greatly loves God's holy will. His children share his great reward, and blessings all their days shall fill. We announce several things that never got into the bulletin. The youth group evening for the next youth group evening is scheduled for January 5th in Lethbridge. Also, the next young adults evening is scheduled for January the 10th, also in Lethbridge. Psalter 305, all stanzas.
Thank you.
generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Who is that congregation? When we see him, he is a rough-looking man. He is clothed with raiment of camel's hair. We read he has a leathern girdle about his loins. And if we will stay for a little while, then we shall see where his home is, boys and girls. And then his home is in the desert. It is in the wilderness of Judea. And then we will see also what he is eating every day. Because then he is eating locusts and wild honey. Who is this? That is John the Baptist. That is that son of Zacharias and Elizabeth, of whom we have heard a short while ago that he was born. He is no longer just a little child. Oh, about 30 years have now gone by, and he is a young man. Now he is preaching. May he do that? May he just preach? Does he have a calling to do that? Or he is called to preach by the Lord himself? We read that the word of the Lord that is coming unto John the Baptist, then he is given a very special work, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. His father, Zacharias, has also prophesied concerning this preaching of his son, and thou child shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. So the time came that John the Baptist is actually sent out by the Lord, that he may go before that Messiah, that he may prepare his ways, and that he may make that people, that they may be ready to receive him. One day he begins to preach. Maybe there are there just a few people that are standing around him. Repent ye, he says, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That is so strange. The people have never heard anything like this before. It is preaching not from the synagogue, but he is preaching out in the wilderness. And that message that John the Baptist is bringing, that is a message they have never heard before, not in their whole life. They call their friends. They call their families. Matthew writes that there went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Thus, multitudes of people flocking to hear this new message. One day he sees some Pharisees and he sees some scribes. They have also heard what has been going on. And they have also seen all these multitudes going out after this new preaching. And so they are also coming to hear what this new preacher has to say. What a contrast. A simple, a very plain man And he is preaching to the doctors of the law. What does he do? Does he then step aside and say, now here are those, and they are more learned than I am, then I will be quiet and they will speak? No, he does not do so. No, because we do not need learning and education in this world in order to preach. But we need only to be called of the Lord. Then it is not that which is pleasing to the ears of men, no. But it is that simple truth out of that word of God that the Lord is blessing and sanctifying for the welfare and the upbuilding of his church. What does he do then? Does he address them? Does he say, Rabbi? Does he say, Master? Does not do that either. No, it is just the opposite. No, we hear him, he says, O generation of vipers. That is not so respectful. That is not, boys and girls, what we would want to be called. That is certainly not what we would expect anyone to call those who are the officers in the church of God. And yet, John the Baptist, he is called for this purpose. John the Baptist is given a message that is by the Lord himself. And John the Baptist is not then afraid. No, but John the Baptist is faithful and he is honest. That he is saying unto the people exactly what their state and their condition is. And that is now what is necessary in order that we may be prepared for the receiving, for the coming of that Son of God. We wish with the help of the Lord to consider with you his words in this evening out of Luke 3, the 9th verse. Luke 3, verse 9. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. So far the words of our text. John the Baptist call to repentance first, and the time for repentance. Second, the need for repentance. Third, the fruits of repentance. John the Baptist call to repentance. First, the time for repentance. Second, the need for repentance. Third, the fruits of repentance. O generation of vipers. What is, congregation, a viper? A viper is a very poisonous snake. It is venomous. It has a very deadly bite. So John the Baptist is addressing this multitude of Jews and these Pharisees and scribes as vipers. Then we say that he is telling this people what the truth is concerning their state and their condition before God. Oh, how wretched has man not become before God, that he may be compared as a snake which has in him a deadly venom, a deadly poison, so that when man is left over to himself by the Lord, that he becomes worse than the beasts of the field that perish. Paul writes of it, being filled, he said, with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness,
full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Oh, what a list of that deadly venom, that deadly poison that is laying in that heart of man. Paul himself says what he himself was in his own life before that the Lord wrought with him in his life. For we ourselves, he said also, were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, and hating one another. John says, O generation of vipers. What does he do? Then John is magnifying the long suffering of the Lord. That the Lord is still sparing, that the Lord is still having dealings with such wretched creatures as his own creature, the crown of the creation, has made himself to be. That the Lord has spared him so long. Have we ever had such an impression in our heart? Congregation, how would it be when we would address you as John the Baptist addressed his hearers, O generation of vipers? Oh, does not our natural heart rebel because we do not conceive ourselves to be so fallen dead in sins and in trespasses as the Word of God declares us to be? The long suffering of God that is so great, but that long suffering shall not last forever. What does John say here? He says, and now the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. What does he mean by this, boys and girls? He says, the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. What do you think that means? Well, that is speaking about a man. That is to draw a picture for us. That is something, is it not? That the Lord draws so many pictures for us in his word. You know, when you read a book, then when you are small, then many times you say, I like it if there are some pictures. That helps you to understand. And the Lord uses here another picture by his servant John the Baptist. And why is that? That is not just for you, boys and girls, but that is for us too. Because when we may go away this night with this picture in our mind, or then we may go away with an impression perhaps also in our heart. It is a picture of a man who has come with an axe to a tree. Then what do you think he is going to do? You say he is going to cut that tree down. Then you are right. When we bring an axe to a tree, that means that a certain decision has been made about this tree. And when that axe that is laid now to the root of the tree, then John the Baptist, he is saying that that tree is not quite yet cut down. No, but that man, he is just about to begin to cut, to chop. He is just about to take a swing with his axe upon this tree.
So what is John the Baptist saying here? John the Baptist is saying that something is right now in this time just about to take place. Something is just going now to begin to happen. And what does he say that is now just going to happen? He says, now there is going to come an end. An end. John the Baptist says, a certain time that is now drawing to a close. The time that this tree that has been given to live in this life and to bring forth fruit, the time for this tree, he says, that is almost done. Then John the Baptist is only drawing a picture of this tree, but that is to speak about something else. Because then John the Baptist is speaking unto his own nation. And he says, now the axe that is laid unto the root of the trees. When was it that John the Baptist must preach? That was immediately before that the Lord Jesus Christ would begin his ministry. Thus, there is a great change that is coming for 4,000 years. The church has waited for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Messiah, that he may come into the presence of his people. And now what does John the Baptist say? John the Baptist says, now he has arrived. Now this time is come, this time of waiting. Say the Lord Jesus was born already 30 years or so ago. That is true. But now the Lord Jesus will just be entering soon into his ministry. Thus the Lord Jesus will now begin in these next few years to accomplish that work that the Father has sent him into this world that he may perform. Thus John the Baptist says, very soon, that there are great changes that are going to come. He says it has already actually become. He says there has come an end now to many things. There is coming an end to the present dispensation. Think not, he says, to call Abraham your father. Abraham was the father of the children of Israel as a nation in this world. Thus, the Jewish nation as the people of the Lord, John says, this whole era that is now about to draw to a close. That covenant of the Lord with Abraham, whereof circumcision was that sign, that outward covenant that he has given that Abraham's children may be his peculiar people, that they are distinguished from all the other nations of the world. This period that now draws to a close, the middle wall of partition between the Jews and the Gentiles, that is now being taken down. And now very soon it is going to become evident that the church is no longer going to be a nation, but that it is going to be ecclesiastical over the entire world. And now, also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Soon, Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. Soon, that city of God that is going to be laid waste. Say, that was not new. That has happened before. Yes, it has. Because the children of Israel were taken away by their enemies. And the wall of Jerusalem was broken down. And the temple of the Lord was destroyed. But what does John say now? John says, and now also the axe that is laid to the root of the trees. And when congregation, you will cut it off at the root, when you will destroy the root, then that tree that will not grow again. No, then John says that this time when that city of Zion is destroyed, that it is no longer going to be that city of God. The law of ceremonies, that whole way of worship, that is now going to come to a close. Great changes because of the fulfillment of that word of God, which is now going to come to pass. All this, says John the Baptist, that has been for the service of the church. But now it comes to an end. And why? Because it is no longer necessary. What was its purpose? It was always looking forward unto the coming of that Messiah. It was always pointing unto Him. It was in preparation for that coming of that Messiah. But when the Lord is coming now, then He gives all these things to be fulfilled. And that axe that is laid at the root of the trees. And then not only that those things shall no longer be, but John says when this takes place, all these things which have been for your preparation for the coming of the Messiah, all the means that were given unto you by the Lord for all these thousands of years, all those means, they are now going to cease. And then the axe is going to be laid also at the root of the tree of every single man that has been given these means. Or have those means been to your welfare? Have those means profited so that you may also be ready to receive Him who is now going to be coming? That was especially so for the Jews in that time. Why? Because the judgment that had to begin where? That has to begin at the house of God. They are the ones that have received the privileges of the Lord. They are the ones over all the nations of the world that were so given so many advantages. And they are the ones that will be beaten with double stripes if all of those advantages were never unto their profit. Congregation, the time of that first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that was with judgment. We read that in Malachi, But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. And that was 400 years ago, the prophecy of the coming of Christ. And now John says that that judgment is come. Now, John says, the axe is now laid unto the root of that tree of every man. The time of judgment is come. He says that time of judgment is actually now already begun. And you must give an account as a nation for the blessings that you have received. Where has it brought you? John the Baptist sees the Pharisees. Oh, they had a great zeal for what? They had a great zeal for the ceremonial law. They had a great zeal for the tradition of the elders. And what must John the Baptist say to them? These religious men, in their own way, John the Baptist must say to them, O generation of vipers. Then he must say that you are just like a tree that is marked already for ruin. All your form of religion that has been nothing but for self-exaltation. And you have perverted the ways of the Lord. And then especially as teachers within that church of God. John the Baptist sees the Pharisees and the scribes, but John the Baptist also sees the Sadducees. So we see another extreme. The Sadducees denied that there was a spirit. The Pharisees denied the resurrection of the dead. And the Pharisees denied the future state of man. Thus, what does John the Baptist say to them? He says, O generation of vipers, where has all the means of grace that has been given to you, where has it now brought you even to believe such a doctrine? Your doctrine, your confession, your religion that is nothing but a poison. You have not rightly profited from all those means that the Lord has given to you. It has not brought you in the right place. And you are not ready. You are not looking. You are not prepared for that mediator that is coming. Yet, John says, there is yet a little bit of time before that he comes. But it is not so much time, because he says, even now that axe that is laid unto the root of the trees, he says, your trial that is only but a very, very short time away. And then you are not able to avoid that complete destruction, but by the way of true repentance, that is our second thought. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Congregation, there is a wrath to come. There is also a present wrath. We see that wrath of God by moments in this world. Then in this world we can see sometimes how that the Lord shows his displeasure because of the sin of man when he sends and the destructive forces of nature, when in one moment thousands and thousands of people are brought to their end, when he sends disease, when he sends famine, when he sends earthquakes, and so on. There is a present wrath of God that may be observed by men in this world. But John the Baptist, he speaks about the wrath to come, the present wrath that we may see, that we may behold, that is but a mere foreboding of that wrath that is to come. Then that vial of that wrath of God, that is, we can read in the Bible, a filling up. That wrath is reserved, that he will pour out those vials one day in judgment and then to all eternity. Thus the scriptures are speaking about this wrath to come. And when the scriptures speak about that wrath, they speak about it in the very strongest possible terms. And yet we still cannot comprehend it. No, we read about it being described as outer darkness, as the blackness of darkness, as the lake of fire and brimstone, as a weeping and a gnashing of teeth. Oh, we say the Lord is using for us pictures over and over in his word, that we may feel something, that something of the reality of his truth may be impressed upon our minds, and that it may be brought into our hearts. And so we hear of also these pictures that the Lord is drawing of that wrath that is to come, and that that John the Baptist is speaking about here. And thus, what greater concern ought you and I to have with our children than to flee from that wrath to come, that we might run as quickly as possible, that we may escape that wrath that is to come. What a blessing, congregation, that we may have a warning. Just as John the Baptist is giving warning to the children of Israel, to the Pharisees and to the Sadducees, and as we may receive warning out of that holy word of God, that so many people in this world have never heard of in their life, and that have no idea that there is coming a wrath to come. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? John the Baptist is showing unto them their great danger. Oh, that is the duty of the servants of the Lord, that God is warning men through his servants of that great danger in which they are standing, that the Lord may also apply it by his Spirit to use it for the conversion of those who are lying hardened under the deceitfulness of sin. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from that wrath to come? But how then must we flee from this wrath to come? First, John the Baptist says how we are not to flee from the wrath to come, or what we are not to do. And then what does he say first? He says, begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. Begin not to say within yourselves. When we say within ourselves, then, congregation, we are giving an answer within ourselves to the preaching. That answer we cannot know, because that is within yourself. But that answer that you give within yourself, that is known unto the Lord. And what is John the Baptist saying here? He says, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come. And then he says, do not begin to say within yourselves, do not begin to make excuse. Do not put away this warning that I am laying before you. In making all kinds of excuses, whatever that they may be, he says, do not do this. And thus the servants of the Lord, they must anticipate that which is going on in the heart, perhaps, of their hearers, and the excuses that man is now making to put that message far away from you so that it will not enter as a dart into your soul. Do not say, begin not to say, don't even begin. Begin not to say within your hearts, we have Abraham to our father. That is, he says, one of the most foolish thoughts that you can have is to say now within yourself that Abraham is our father. It is not going to avail you that you are a Jew. Why not? Because John says that this present dispensation is very now soon. No, it is now already coming to an end. Then you are not going to be able to die with these words upon your lips that Abraham is our father. And thus, congregation, it will not avail us that we are a member of the church, that we are a confessing member, or that we are a baptized member, that we are a faithful member. Then it will not avail us that we have a certain heritage. Then it will not avail us that we have the truth. It will not avail us that Abraham, oh, that we had a converted father, that we had a converted mother. No, on the other hand, how is it that we have had all these blessings and that we still are unconverted and that we are so easy under that unconverted state? Or he says, begin not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, God is able of these stones to raise children unto Abraham. Then you have no reason to rely on all of your external privileges. Oh, God does not need men. God does not need us. What did the Lord say to Moses? Let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against this people, that I may destroy them, and I will make of you a great nation. And thus, if you shall not be the children of the Lord, then the Lord is able to raise up his children even from these very stones, then the Lord certainly will still have a people that will serve him, and he is not dependent upon us. No, begin not to say within yourselves that we have Abraham to our father. But what does he say? He says, bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. Salvation that is only coming by way of a true repentance. Therefore, John, when he is preaching of the preparation of for that coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he will come and then to prepare for this, then John is saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What is that? Repentance. repentance that is change of heart and mind. Thus, congregation, we cannot be saved outside of a change of heart and mind. That there is no other way to escape that wrath that is to come. How is the heart and the mind changed in the way of true repentance? What is that change that must come in our heart and in our mind? Then that change must be concerning the necessity of that Son of God. Then that change must be concerning the need for the Messiah. What does John the Baptist say? He is about to appear. And if you still do not feel your need for him in that short time that he is coming, then you are going to miss him. Then he says, Pharisees, Sadducees, then you are in the way of your own righteousness. And because you will not let go of that righteousness of your own, then you are not prepared to receive that Messiah who is about to appear. Thus he says, turn from that thought that you can ever, ever make it right between God and your soul. Then turn away from that idea that you have in your own heart, that by a broken covenant of works, that you shall again come into the favor and the communion of the Lord. No, all your righteousnesses, they must become as filthy rags if you shall be prepared for the coming of this Son of God. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then John says, the way in which you are looking for that Messiah, that is completely wrong. Then you must learn to look for someone whom you have never expected in your life. Not one to give you temporal necessities here below, but one who has come to save you from sin. One who will come not as a king in this world, but one who will come in a humble and a lowly way. Oh, how is it possible to flee from that wrath to come and to receive that Son of God if we have never had a change of heart and mind concerning his necessity? But John the Baptist says, you have now not so much time for this anymore. He says it is so urgent. Why? Because that axe that is laying there, it is laying right at the root of the trees. He is about to appear. And if there is no place to receive him now, then it is going to be forever and forever too late, very, very soon. Congregation, let us sing. And from Psalter 425. Stanzas 4 and 6, ye seed from Abraham descended, to whom his favors were extended, and Jacob's children, whom the Lord has chosen, hearken to his word. He is the Lord, our judge divine. In all the earth His glory shine. 4 and 6 of Psalter 425. Our last thought, the fruits of repentance. John the Baptist says here, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. What does he mean? That word worthy, that actually means to correspond to. Thus, works which are meet or works which correspond to a true repentance. Repentance does not stand all by itself, because repentance is something that is taking place within the heart of a man. But what does the Lord Jesus say? He says that every tree is known by its fruits. Thus, John the Baptist, he asks these Pharisees and Sadducees, why do you come to me? Do you want to be baptized by me? Do you want to be baptized with that baptism of repentance? If you would submit to my baptism, I would not baptize you. And why would I not baptize you? Because in your life, there are no fruits which show the evidences of your true repentance. And therefore later, and we read that the Pharisees were not baptized by the Apostle John. repentance takes place in our heart. But through repentance that is becoming known, it is becoming evident, it is becoming manifest in the fruits of our life. Thus, when our heart turns, then also our life turns. That life that is evidence of that turning of the heart. Therefore, John says here, every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. Those who do not have the evidences, the certain evidences which will come forth of that true repentance, shall not escape that wrath that is to come. What are those evidences? They are the turning away from sin. And the people asked him, saying, "What shall we do?" Then he answered and said unto them, "He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise." He says, turn away from your covetousness and turn unto love to God and to your neighbor and to help those that have not, that are poor. Pity them. What was the sin of the publicans? They took more than was necessary. Therefore, there came also publicans to be baptized and said unto him, "Master, what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Exact no more than that which is appointed you." What did he tell to the soldiers? And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, "And what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Do no violence to men, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." Then he speaks about the fruits which ought to be corresponding to that repentance, if it is true in your heart. No, then he does not say that to do these works, and then you will come by them into the kingdom of God. No, but he says we may see if it is really true when these will be the fruits in your life. Or when these will be the fruits, then it is evident that you turn away from something. What does it mean? That you say what I did was wrong, that it was unlawful, that what I did needs to be forgiven, that it needs to be washed, that it needs to be cleansed, that I need for that Messiah that is to come. Oh, that fruit of turning, that fruit of repentance, that evidence that is of that need for that Messiah to show that there is now place for him. And then we have no desire to continue anymore in that wicked way that we have walked in before in our life. Congregation, what is not a manifestation in our own life? Does our life show now what is lying within our heart? Has there been a change of heart? Has there been a change of mind? If this was necessary at the first advent of Christ, when Christ came to save the world, how much more necessary is this not at the second advent of Christ? When Christ will now come again, not to save, but to judge the world. Oh, then there is not so much time anymore. And this very evening, and that is reminding us that time comes to its end. and we need it, do we not? That reminder over and over again. Because are we not pushing that day always so far away from us? That day that is with so much certainty coming in your life and coming in my life. And we may see by the events which are taking place in this world that there is not so much time anymore. Do we say that the coming of Christ is imminent? Do we say that we can expect that in this evening? No. No, because there are still those things that need to be fulfilled before that He comes. But it is really not very difficult anymore to see how that this world is gathering in its philosophy. The world it becomes a smaller and a smaller place. And it is that true people of the Lord, it is that true church of God, which is more and more despised, and that will become the objects of the persecution of this world. And now the axe that is laid unto the root of the trees, thus what is now the prophet, we may ask ourselves that evening, this evening, what is now the profit of all the privileges which have gone before in our life, which have been now even in this year that lies behind us? Oh, what has it profited? Has it brought us ever in this way of true repentance? Has it ever brought us to our knees? Paul says the carnal heart that is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Do you ever feel something of the carnality of that wretched heart that is lying within your breast? Was there ever a turning? Was there ever a true repentance? A change in heart and in mind, that that carnal heart may become subject, that it might learn to love the service and the law of the Lord. Oh, was there ever a change of heart and mind, that you may see that you also, in a personal way, so stand in need of that mediator, in order to bridge that gap that is between God and your soul? Was there ever place made for Him who has come the first time and who is soon going to come again? And if that is so, is that also evident in our life? Is that evident in the fruits of our life? Or can we still go on just in that same way as we were born? In this is evident the sincerity of that repentance. And what does John say? That in the end, the barren trees are going to be cast into the fire. That is the most fit place for a tree that brings forth no fruit. Or a tree can have beautiful leaves, a beautiful profession, but no fruit before the Lord. A tree may stand tall with gifts, with honor, even with an office. But if there is no fruit, then it is going to be cast into the fire. People of the Lord, you say this word that makes my heart to tremble. Why is that?
That is not a strange thing. That word makes the heart of that true church to tremble. And why not? Because this is exactly the burden that is laying in your heart. That you say, I am without fruit. What is my life? Oh, how often then is it not said of that true church that they do less sin and that they become a greater sinner? And why is that? Because the Lord is exposing, even in the midst of that warfare, the Lord is exposing the corruption and the wretchedness that is in your heart. And why does the Lord do so? Oh, that Messiah, that Christ, whom He has sent into this world, may become all the more necessary to you. That He may become all the more precious. That He may become all the more suitable to your soul. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ, then He will become altogether lovely to every one of the true church of God. In the end, it is going to be that they are saying with God's servant, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that is why He Himself has said that it is in me that thy fruit is found, and therefore you must decrease in order that He may increase. But one day, and then all that sin, that shall be wiped away. When is that? That is when He comes again in your personal life, or when He comes at the end of this world to receive you unto Himself, and when all sin shall be left behind, to the great satisfaction of your soul, to the glory of His great and worthy name. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, humble our hearts before Thee. Thou hast given us so many privileges. We have to give an answer for them soon. At the end of our life, which is a fleeting life, which is in life as in hand breadth, the same as this year has so quickly flown by. So our life, that is as an ever-rolling stream, time bearing all its sons away, give us then hearts to understand. Make room and place in our hearts for Thy dear Son, that we may be received by Thee. And wilt Thou bring us now safely to our homes? Spare us in Thy long-suffering mercies in the night that is to come. And wilt Thou bring us with desire in Thy house in the morning hour? Wilt Thou be with those that mourn, and especially those that will in this night yet hear the names of their loved ones that have gone before. Lord, strengthen them in mercy. Forgive our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 231, stanzas 1 and 3, and we ask that after we sing this psalter that you please remain seated.
231, Lord, thou hast favor shown thy land, restored again thy captive bent, thy people's sins thou pardoned hast, and all their guilt hast covered o'er, removed from them thy anger sore, all thy fierce wrath behind thee cast. 1 and 3 of Psalter 231. Congregation, although the year still has a few more hours, we announce the names of those who have passed out of our midst in the year gone by. May the Lord strengthen all that mourn. Mr. John Van Sluis passed away on April 8, 2007, at the age of 82 years. Mr. Case Alleman passed away on October 19th, 2007, at the age of 72 years. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Instead of the doxology, and we ask you to stand and to sing from Psalter 422, in the last verse, 422, as stanza 8, remember, Lord, how frail I am, how few my years. My life is like a cloud that comes and disappears, and what follows. In stanza 8 of 422, standing. Remember. Receive now the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.